your good news and to tell it for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down and do keep that page open if you've got it. Page 29 in the Church Bibles, Matthew 25. It's a chapter which often comes up at this time of year, because in this season of Advent, we as Christians remember Jesus' first coming and look forward to his second. We do both at the same time. And so in our Old Testament lesson from the book of Micah, we see the foretelling of Jesus' first coming, and we, living in the 21st century, are able to look back to its fulfillment 2,000 years ago. And at the same time, we look at Jesus' teaching on his second coming, to which we look forward. And here in Matthew 24 and 25, we see some of that teaching. In Matthew 24, Jesus is telling of the future and of his second coming to his followers then. And then in Matthew 25, his teaching goes on to describe what will happen after his second coming. There will be a judgment. All people will be judged. And the parable of the 10 bridesmaids with their lamps says that the first thing to consider in the judgment is, did you know me, says God? Do you have a right relationship with me? And then the second part of the judgment is here in these verses I just read out. If you knew me, did you use what I gave you for the purpose for which I gave it? Is the implied question from Jesus, the judge, who we will face on that last day. And he tells it as this parable. And in the parable, there's lots of repetition, isn't there? In the hope that we get the point. That's often the reason for repetition. And especially in the Bible, to check that we did get the point. So there's this picture of the man who goes on a journey and leaves his property with his servants. That's a picture of Jesus, who gives to us every good thing we have for a purpose. And when Jesus comes back again, he's going to be interested in how we have used what he's given us, everything that he's given us. And Jesus is fair, he is just, so he recognizes that some of us have been given much more than others. That's how it goes in the story. Some were given 5 talents, some were given 2 talents, some only 1 talent. We'll only be judged on the basis of what we've been given and how we have used what we have been given. So if some of us have lots and lots of things, we'll be judged on how we've used those lots and lots of things. If some of us are poor and have very little, then we will be judged on the basis of that little and how we've used that. God is fair. Jesus is fair at the last judgment. And so the story continues. And the owner of everything comes back after the long period he was away. And there is an accounting. And the first one forward is the one with 5 talents. Now, the one with 5 talents, we were told, had got on and used those talents in his master's service as soon as the master had gone away from the start. And so when the master comes back, he has gained another 5 talents to add to the 5 talents. He's used what he was given well. in his master's service. And so the master says, well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. It's about going to God's place. Jesus' heaven with him. So how does the second person fare? This one was given 2 talents. Not so talented, not so rich in possessions or money or the good things that have been given. But this person got on and used it well and was able to be fruitful and used things in the way in which God would purpose. And so came back saying, I've added to those 2 talents another 2 talents. And so that person was told exactly the same thing as the one who'd been given 5 talents. It's not that the richer one will do better in heaven. No. On the basis of whatever we've been given, if we've used it fruitfully in the Lord's service, we too will go to God's heaven. Or as it's put here, I'll put you in charge of many things, enter into the joy of your master. Then it comes to the one who had been given 1 talent. The one who'd been given 1 talent revealed their thought processes straight away. Master, I knew that you were a harsh man. That's probably not going to win many favors, is it? That particular phrase. And moreover, is it true? I don't think it is. I don't think it's true to say that Jesus is harsh. He's just and fair, not harsh. Yes, different people are given different amounts, but they're judged differently on their fruitfulness because of that. But something fruitful will be expected from everyone. I don't think that's harsh. That's just fair, isn't it? So, off on the wrong foot, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. Well, that's not Jesus, is it? Jesus is the one who scatters seed everywhere in the hope that some seed may grow and bear fruit. That's another parable, isn't it? Jesus scatters seed and only expects fruit where he does scatter seed, but he does scatter seed everywhere. So this third servant has got some things seriously wrong in their idea about God that are revealed in what is said at the judgment. Master, I knew that you're a harsh man, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. So a wrong idea of God means a wrong response in living out what he's given. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. Well, obviously not the bankers of the banks we've got at the moment. But in theory, you see what he's saying. And then it becomes clear that Jesus is following through what he promised. There is a wide road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. He says to this person who has not been fruitful with what he has been given, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. So this slave, this servant, who had not acknowledged God and used what he had been given for Jesus and his purposes, would not enter into God's joy. That's the nature of the judgment. It's fair and it's right and it's hard. But we do well to acknowledge it. That's why we're told in advance, so that it's not a shock or a surprise on the last day, but so that we can be ready now, working now with what God has given us now, in order that we might hear on the last day, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can rejoice in your first coming and look forward to your second coming. Please help us to be ready for your name's sake. Amen.